The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Hello again, everybody. It's time for Need to Know, and we are, as always, glad to be with you again for another weekly session of kicking things around that should be on everybody's mind, and things that some of you, I'm sure many of you already know, maybe from a different perspective, but always hoping to convey some ideas or some thoughts that, you know, maybe will resonate and allow your thought process to kind of process all of that and see if your perspective on some things can not be adjusted so much, but just added to the perspective that you already maintain. Because I think that's something that distresses me greatly right now about, you know, people that I encounter and talk to and correspond with. It's easy to kind of get tuned out and get in your own vacuum of your world and all the things around you. But it's important, especially at this time, to not ever, you know, take your eye off the ball of everything going on around you, because in this ever-changing world, there are a lot of things that, you know, you really need to be involved with to some extent. And one of those, and again, I know many of you are apolitical and don't really want to pay attention to the political process. That's understandable. It's a big mess. It's just a partisan nightmare. We've got a lot of interesting facts and things you need to know coming up. But the midterm election is upon us, and it is vitally important for everybody to go out and let their feelings and thoughts be known through the greatest right that we have in a experiment of a representative constitutional republic that America is. Going out and casting your vote is vitally important, and the vote needs to be cast not by what somebody's telling you to do or what they think that you should believe, not by saying you're a black person, so you've got to go out and vote Democrat, or you're a Latino and you have to all vote in the same block, or you're a, you know, white suburban housewife that needs to be appalled about this issue and that issue. Every individual needs to vote on their thoughts, their intelligence, their perspective, and not be herded like sheep to go certain directions that others think are vital to their cause and not necessarily your own. So think for yourself, stand up for what is best for you, for your family, for your livelihood, and for your country, and most of all, for the futures of your children and grandchildren, if that applies. So with that rallying message, the midterm election is contentious. It is something we've never seen before. You know, the presidential election years, yeah, big deal, of course. And every 2 years, the quote midterms are the complete overturning or actually re-election of Congress, the House of Representatives. 435 of them are, their jobs are on the line. They have to win re-election to go back to Washington for another two-year term. And that right away is kind of an alarm bell. A two-year term for Congress is a little distressing, because in this day and age, basically you get elected to Congress, you go up and get sworn in for a new session, and you start running for re-election again right away, because the next election is just by the time you get sworn in, just a year and a half pretty much out. So it's almost like a constant fundraising campaign. No wonder these people don't get anything done when they actually get to Washington. Then, of course, you have the Senate. Those are six-year terms, which arguably might be just the opposite. They might be a little bit too long, because you get some people in office, 6 years is a long time. And every couple of years, about a third of those seats are up, and those people have to run for re-election. So in this particular midterm, you've got somewhere, and I haven't counted them directly, but I think between 18 and 21 races that are up for grabs in the U.S. Senate. And of course, that body right now is 50-50, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans, and a lot of things hang in the balance that our country runs on, depending on what the makeup of the Senate is. The main thing right now that you have to consider is with the Democrats holding a slim majority in the House, Joe Biden as president, a Democrat, and the Senate being 50-50, and any tie is decided by the vote of the vice president to break that tie. And of course, Kamala Harris is going to go the way of the Democrats at being one, of course. You have a situation right now that the Democrats really control Washington, and it has had some rather distressing results. And we're not going to get into all that because I have told you repeatedly, I don't want to make this a partisan political show. I'm just going to say to you that any time that one party has all three situations, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we're in for a lot of decisions that are not necessarily going to be in the best interests of you, the citizens of the country. They're going to be in the interest of that party that's in power. And the main objective of that party in power is going to be to keep the ability to have that power. And I just, as I even find myself uncomfortable saying this, but it's really the best case scenario to have one branch or one of that three-headed monster really in the hands of one of the other party, just to keep things kind of balanced and keep one party from getting carried away and doing a lot of things that are detrimental to you and the country. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, I've made very clear I am not a registered Republican. I certainly lean more center-right because I'm more of a traditionalist, and I believe in the founding principles of this country and our Constitution. I believe in law and order. I believe that particular persuasion of being center-right is more indicative of those kind of belief systems. But right now, we have a basically government being driven by far left policies, and I'm nowhere near there on the political perspective. But on the other hand, if it was being driven by far right interests, I would be just about as uncomfortable. So in any extreme view on either side of the spectrum is disturbing. And I think everybody, once again, needs to go cast their vote. And it's important because we really need to kind of get things under control here and tone down the rhetoric. We have a president who was elected on that basis, that he was going to be the great uniter, that he was going to get everybody on the same page, that he was going to be just as much the president for people that did not vote for him as those who did. Well, I identified that as malarkey when it was going on, and man, was I right, because from day one, this president is beholden to the far left interests that got him elected, and Bernie Sanders, George Soros, a lot of elitists overseas, even the Chinese Communist Party are all on the de facto board of directors. Joe Biden, as we've seen, is pretty much just a figurehead, not really calling the shots and not capable of the job to begin with. So we've got a lot of problems in Washington right now and a lot of problems with our country. So I'm an advocate of checks and balances. And I think one party or the other being in the extreme position of being able to call all the shots is very dangerous and very detrimental to a lot of our daily lives. I just paid my power bill for this month. It is literally double what my power bill was this time last year. Now, I'm not complaining. I have a very comfortable life. My children are growing up. I live alone. Paying double for my power bill, which wasn't that great to start with, is not a major thing, but it is one of those things, just like when I go to the grocery store or just when we pull in and fill up the car, you can see how the costs have just gone through the roof. And polling Americans, that is the major issue right now. And on the Republican agenda for the election, it is inflation and gas prices, it's border security, it's crime, and it's education. And this obsession by a lot of the far left to get our children involved at a very early age in subjects that they are not ready, mature enough by any stretch of the imaginations to process are the major issues. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking, that, you know, probably have voted Democrat or comes from Democrat families. And I'm not telling you to abandon ship. I'm just telling you to look at the fact that this version of the Democrat Party is not what we've been accustomed to for all the years of American history. This group is being driven by the far left wing of their party, and their policies are not traditional American structure in terms of the Constitution or a lot of the other things that we hold dear. So that's why I think you really need to take a step back and not just paint yourself red or blue in this election, but again, cast your vote to reflect what your belief system is and what's best for you and your family. There was a famous episode. I don't know how many of you, I'm sure most of you or a lot of you that listen are familiar with the incredible parody show South Park. There was my all-time favorite episode of that. And of course, the show is based on elementary school kids in South Park, Colorado, and all of the different things they get involved in. But in this particular episode, and I think it's such a great commentary on where we are right now in America, of this school was the South Park, and their mascot for their sports teams and whatnot was a cow, the South Park Cows. And in this episode, PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, which is basically a hardcore organization. We don't need to get into all of the things about PETA, but really the plight of animals is the least of their concerns. They just want to raise as much sympathy and as much money to be a powerful force in the narrative. But PETA had come in and objected to the use of the cow as the school mascot on the basis of it was offensive to cows. And so the school buckled and said, okay, we are not going to have the cow as our mascot anymore. We are going to have a nomination process and a vote to adopt a brand new mascot for our school. And in the episode, the kids, being kids, came up with a lot of different nominations, and the two top vote getters that were going to run for the designation of school mascot for South Park turned out to be a turd sandwich and a giant douche. That was the two candidates. And all the school polarized. One was for one side, half was for one side, half was for the other. And one kid, Kyle, decided that this is just stupid. I'm not going to vote for a giant douche or a turd sandwich. I'm not going to vote. And the whole episode was about everybody pressuring him. Well, you've got to vote. You've got to vote. You've got to make a decision. This is critically important. And he continues to just be cajoled the whole time because he's holding out because he thinks the choice is so pathetic that he does not want to vote for a turd sandwich or a giant douche. And I think a lot of Americans in recent elections feel that same way. Back in 2016, I I remembered that episode and used that tale to describe that election in 2016 when it was Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton. I don't know who was the turd sandwich and who was the giant douche, but I have some ideas on that. But that was the choice that came down to. And, you know, you were still being pressured. You've got to vote. And I've just started this show today by telling you, you've got to get to the polls and vote. But again, it needs to be based on what you believe and what you feel is best for your future and your livelihood and your family. But I know a lot of people feel that way, that that's kind of where we've been relegated in terms of our choices, that it's not exactly desirable to go either way. But think for yourself. Don't think in terms of party. That's really important. I mentioned the Republicans and their major campaigns themes, again, the economy and gas prices. If you look at polls around the country, Americans are overwhelmingly naming those issues as the top things in the campaign. But amazingly, the Democrats and Joe Biden's administration, who are predominantly responsible, really pass the buck there and say, well, it's not our fault. There's inflation all throughout the world. This is not any result of our policies. Well, I'm going to have to call BS on that, because the very first day of the Biden administration, the first order of business was to sign executive orders that basically shut down all of our pipeline construction, which allows fuel to be transported all around the country in an efficient manner. It was to basically suspend the building of any additional refineries, which are necessary to process any kind of gas or oil that has been procured. And also, it shut down drilling in many of the most productive areas in the country, the Anwar region of Alaska, the Gulf of Mexico, large expanses of known to be rich areas in federal lands. And despite saying in a debate that he would not be opposed to the principle of fracking, which I'm not an expert on, it's basically some sideways sort of drilling procedure that in shale that procures natural gas, but environmentalists say that it's harmful or detrimental. But that was cut off too. The very first day, that with the swipe of a pen, we basically forfeited our energy independence. And energy is the cornerstone to everything in our economy. And the reason for that is it's pretty simple. All the goods that we use as consumers are transported to markets via big trucks, trains, everything running on diesel fuels. And if the war on fossil fuels under the guise of it's good for the environment and we need to make this switch to green energy and renewable energy, you can't make that switch until you are set up to adopt those new ideas, which we are not even remotely at that point. So again, not, just trying to keep it concise here and not get into the real details of all of this, but that decision really set the stage. And then you tack on huge spending bills, which again were supposedly COVID relief bills and the American Rescue Plan. Trillions of dollars injected into the economy. The basic definition of inflation is too much money being put into the market chasing too few goods. So you already have put a hamper, a damper, I should say, on the ability of the fuel industry to produce and transport product. And now you've infused all this extra money into the economy that basically serves to devalue the currency you already have. So that means the money that's already out there is immediately rendered to be worth less than it was. That's just common sense. So in that situation, you get kind of a disquieting situation where inflation goes through the roof. You've got too much money in circulation, and again, it's chasing too few goods. That is the definition of inflation. But this administration and people now running for re-election on the blue side of the fence will tell you, well, we're not responsible for that. It's a global situation. It's because of COVID. It's because of Vladimir Putin and his war in Ukraine. They're passing the buck. The most amazing thing that's happening right in front of us right now is things we see with our own eyes, hear with our own ears, experience personally every day, filling up your car, going to the market, paying your bills. You know what's happening. You are experiencing and seeing it. But yet, like the George Orwell book, 1984, or Saul Alinsky's Radical Handbook, there are provisions and explanations in those particular works that talk about the way for totalitarian government to control everything is to get people to just follow the mantra and the statements that they make and ignore your own eyes, your own ears. Basically, we know best. We're telling you it's like this, and you don't think for yourself. You let us tell you what to think. And if anybody out here is listening to this and is allowing that to happen, stop. Start thinking for yourself. Start understanding the situation you're in. And if you see the obvious and hear the obvious and experience the obvious, it's the obvious. Don't let other people tell you how to think and how to react to things you know full well are real. That's kind of the situation. It's kind of like the old Monty Python movie. Remember when King Arthur comes up against the guy that's guarding the bridge and saying, "None shall pass." And they get into a sword fight. And King Arthur, takes a mighty swing of his blade and basically just slices the guard's arm off. And he said, "Now step aside." And the guy goes, no, "None shall pass." And he says, "You silly sod, I've just cut off your arm." And the guy says, "No, you didn't. It's just a flesh wound." That's basically what we're dealing with here. What you see and what you hear, no, that's not true. And then they tell you what you're supposed to think. So don't allow that to happen, because it's happening too much. Everybody knows the economy is out of control. Gas prices are too high. And we are living in a situation that some simple adjustments could be made to not go to war against the American fossil fuel industry. And at the same time, this administration is overseas in Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and even Iran begging for oil to be imported to the country. It makes no sense, folks. I mean, this is stuff you can't make up. So it's not okay for us to drill in our abundant supply of natural gas and oil. We can't do that. We have to suppress our entire energy grid. Biden said over the weekend that we've got to go about shutting down coal production plants and coal mines. Hillary Clinton said it in 2016. We've got to shut it down. Coal's got to go. That's fine long term. I'll still debate with anybody the whole climate change crisis this is an existential thing that, I think there were people actually saying last year that we only have 12 years left. We've got to move right now. If that's the case, it's already too late, but that's not the case. This planet's been here for 4.5 billion years. The blip on the radar that we are is not going to cause the planet to implode because there's a group of gas-guzzling vehicles on this road. But I digress. Let's set that aside and just say the transition is fine long-term. Renewable energy, green energy, electric cars, et cetera. I'm not opposed to any futuristic. I'm all for change if it's for the good of of our society and the environment. That's great, but we are not at that point to make that transition. None of those technologies are ready or even close to being developed. So you can't subscribe to the theory of making that happen when there's nothing else to go to. That's just the wrong direction to go. And again, it all comes down to these are just ways, these are tactics to make the government bigger and grow the reliance on the public, on the government, hoping that there'll be another cash handout or some kind of bailout position that only makes people more entitled or not entitled, but makes people more dependent, reliant on the government. Let's move on to the other major issues. You've got the open border situation. Almost 3 million people have poured in here illegally. People seeking a better life, you know, that's great. But these aren't people bedraggled, for the most part, coming in here from one or two oppressed countries. This is people just pouring in from all over the world. Many of them are carrying cell phones. They've been flown or brought by ship to embarkation points to make the last leg of the trip up to the border. This is being financed. This is not just a knee-jerk reaction. This is people being encouraged to come to this country because they're being told that if they come here, the government will take care of them. As distressing as that is, the worst thing, there was a report in just a couple of weeks ago that more than 100 people on the international terrorist watch list had been engaged at the border trying to cross into America. So that's the 100 or whatever we know about. How many have slipped through the cracks and in our country today? That's a terrifying thing. And the fentanyl, the drugs, the Mexican cartels that are controlling the whole situation at the border, making people pay exorbitant amounts of money for them to be helped to cross, packing a lot of them with illegal drugs to deliver and distribute. Fentanyl is killing Americans, over 100,000 in the last couple of years. It is a lethal, cheap drug that the technology comes from China. These fentanyl labs are being popping up everywhere in Mexico, and all of this terrible drug traffic that's making millions of dollars for terrorist organizations, aka Mexican cartels, is getting into our country. I asked somebody that I know who's an intelligent young person, kind of in their early 30s. I mentioned something about fentanyl. She looked at me like I was nuts, and she said, I don't know what that is. That scares me to death that, you know, somebody might at some point say, hey, you know, here's some, I don't know. And I don't think this, I'm not saying this particular individual would be up for this, but, you know, somebody said, you know, here's some meth. Here's, you know, let's do a line of coke. These drugs are laced with this stuff because it's a cheaper material. It increases the value of being able to sell it for a lot less production cost. And this is killing people, not knowing what it is. I mean, I hope that's not indicative of a lot of the population, because that's terrifying. So we've got the border crisis that's intentional, because Americans are never going to be completely open to surrendering their liberties and all the things that they're guaranteed constitutionally. But importing a bunch of, quote, new Americans who are totally relying on government is another way to try and ensure long-term power and control. You know, we talk about law and order. It's another Monty Python moment. Crime, violent crime in our country is rampant. It is statistically through the roof. And yet there's denial by a lot of these folks running for office and by this administration, not even acknowledging it. It's like, oh, no, that's not happening. That's just a Republican myth to scare people. Tell that to people that have been attacked in the subway stations, literally pushed on the tracks, and their families that have lost loved ones. Violent crimes that are resulting in people's deaths because you've got these liberal DAs that are put into office with millions of dollars that comes from George Soros, who I'm not allowed to say that because that makes me an anti-Semite. The funny thing is, until about 3 months ago, I didn't know George Soros was Jewish, and I've been pointing to him for years as one of the causes of a lot of our upheaval in this country. So anyway, these liberal DAs that basically just have a revolving door process, because it's not just to incarcerate somebody. Well, it's pretty just if that person has taken another life and you've got all these violent criminals just being put back on the streets. If that's not a concern of every American, I don't know where your thought process is coming from. And finally, because we got to wrap it up, our children is the other issue. They are being indoctrinated and taught a completely different set of values than what we hold dear. And when parents have objected, they're tagged as domestic terrorists. They're tagged as parents have no right to be involved in the education of their children. Say that again. You know, it doesn't take a village. It takes responsible, loving parents and family units to raise children. And we don't need far left ideologists to be influencing our kids about what they should think about their country and what they should even consider about their own gender. If you're pushing an 8-year-old that, you know, think real hard, you might be a girl or you know, you might want to be a boy. That's just abhorrent. It's totally inappropriate, and it makes absolutely no sense. It's only to further trying to tear down the family unit in this country. The Democrats will tell you that if you vote for Republicans, you are threatening our democracy. Everything's going to fall apart. Well, it's reverse reality, folks, because Kamala Harris said last week, appealing to abortion supporters, that just give me two more senators, just two more senators, and we can get rid of this filibuster and we can pass laws that ensure that abortion is going to be part of our choices. It'll be the law of the land forevermore. I don't have any feelings on abortion. I'm not a white male who's telling people that that I have control of their bodies. It's not my decision. Anybody who's got a, you know, A and B black and white position on abortion is really off base, because it's a complicated issue and every individual case is different. And of course, it's the choice of the woman to make that decision. Not in the seventh or eighth month, but that's a whole nother debate. But they appeal to these people on the basis of just give us two more votes. Well, if they get two more votes and get rid of the filibuster, guess what else they do? They make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states, which are heavily left-leaning Democrat territories. They increase the number of justices on the Supreme Court and load it up with ideologues who are going to give them control of everything. And they also want to federalize elections where everything routes through Washington. You talk about democracy being destroyed. That's the threat to democracy, a totalitarian government run by either party who's in complete control. And that's what you really need to think about and really need to know before casting your vote this week. I'm Kip Kiefer. Ranted a little bit too long there. I apologize, but a lot on my mind today. It's need to know, and I hope everybody will rise up and do what's best for them and their family. That's my message today. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.